Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Good to see all of you today. Pray the Lord give you a rich blessing. Let's look at verse 33. Matthew 6, 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let's pray. Lord, you have been merciful, and that's why we can come into your presence. We thank you that you hear and answer prayer. Lord, you know the hearts of everyone in this room today, those that are close to you and those that are far away, those that are saved and those that are lost. And Lord, I pray that you would touch every heart in the room. I pray your Holy Spirit would have his way with your word. And I pray you give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tremendous verse. Actually, it's like a conclusion to verses 24 through 34. Let's read them just a little bit. Verse 24. No man can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other. If you'll hold to the one and despise the other, you cannot serve God and mammon. He says right here, you can't serve two masters. Somebody's got to be master. That doesn't mean if you love God, you can't have a job. But it means you know that God comes first. You can't serve God and money too. You're going to serve one or the other. So many times money gets in the way of the will of God. Now I know we all pray for money for our missionaries. This right here costs $900 to $1,000 a month just to pay the electric bill. Have a mission conference or something like that, it goes up. We take on the support of missionaries, pay us a lot of money. Churches do need money, but I want you to understand money is not the answer. It's the will of God. Now he says there, very simply, no man can serve two masters. You're going to give one the honor above the other, and one of them is going to be cheated. Both of them cannot be your master. Now look in verse 25. Therefore I say unto thee, take no thought for your life. Wow. That's what we think about most of the time, isn't it? Isn't that what we think about most of the time? You get old, you're still thinking about your life. You know what? You came out of the womb crying and you die the same way. You come up and then you go down. And that's the cycle of life. No, he says, take no thought for your life. Well, of course, you understand, he's not saying don't ever get an education. Don't improve your job. Don't buy a better house. Don't learn how to do something better. Don't find a little better way to dress or a better way to talk. That's not what he's talking about. He's saying you don't want to be anxious about your life. There's some things you can't change. And tell you the truth, most of the things you worry about, you can't change. Have you looked at the ads on television recently? Recently, for as long as there's been a television. What are we talking about? People are talking about letting fat people become skinny. Let skinny people put on weight. Talking about how you look, makeup. I wonder how many billions of dollars makeup. Of course, paint helps any old barn. You understand? That's bad. I'm sorry. I couldn't resist it. I just known the joke for such a long time. Think of all the money spent on that. You're trying to make yourself look better. You want to have something to change your body to where it's not what it is. Most of us are disappointed in our body. You see this long body here? Somebody's walking around with my legs. But think about the poor guy that's walking around with my legs and his body's about like that, see? Boy, we're not perfect, are we? Everybody's got a problem. I had an evangelist friend. I loved him very much. Much older than me, died at 60, but he won a lot of people to the Lord. When he was a little child, he fell into the fireplace in his face. He'd had about 30-something operations on his face. He still didn't look that good. Pretty rugged. And what he was telling me, he says, even the finest starlets, the biggest stars, they have things about their face they don't like. That was an encouragement to him because he had a horribly disfigured face that had been operated on 30 times trying to improve it, and I guess it had improved it a great bit. You know what? That old boy was a fighter when he was a kid because everybody was making fun of him. So he spent his time fighting. And then he got saved, and then he became a preacher of the gospel, and he went around and was a very sweet brother to me. I loved him. Take no thought for your life. Now look what he says about it. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Isn't that the truth? The life is more than meat and the body is more than raiment. I know how important clothes are to us. I know how important other things, clothes, cars, houses. We judge ourselves by a lot of different ways. He's saying, don't do that. Your life is more than that. And then he goes on in verse 26, says, behold, the fowls of the air. They sow not, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Talking about food. Now, I know there's some people that are worried about food tonight around the world. I feel sorry for many, many people caught in the midst of wars or dictators. And you can't get food to them because whatever we send them, the government takes over and sells it at a tremendous high price on the black market. So much of our money simply goes into the hands of crooks rather than helping out the people that need the help. They're hungry people. I'd like to help the hungry people. But you know, I can't trust the people handling the money. They'll put a picture of a beautiful little girl and tell me she doesn't have any water and she doesn't have any education. She doesn't have this and that. And if I'll just send them $19 a month, they'll send me a picture. How do I know what they're doing with that money? There are a lot of crooks in the world, you know that? And con men, by the way, don't have a sign that says con men. I am a con man. No! They dress in a nice suit, they have a sweet breath, they're shaved, they look like they're the sweetest person in the world, and they act like they love you. That's how they're con men. You trust them. Well, there's a lot of things in this world out here I can't trust, can you? He said, your heavenly Father feedeth them. If you're laying awake nights worrying about where your next meal's coming from, or really probably next, we don't do next meal in this generation in America. We do next month. We pay everything monthly. In Jesus' day, they paid them every day, and they looked daily for their bread. We are so rich. One reason why we have so much diabetes and we are so fat, have so many heart attacks and some other things like that, is because we're so rich. We're rich. We have an abundance of food. Go into one of our grocery stores. Good night. What a beautiful thing. And back during the Cold War, they had to wait in line to get bread over in a lot of these countries. Richest God has given us. God has fed us well, hasn't He? We don't need to worry about food. If God can take care of sparrows, what do you think He could do for you? Aren't you better than many sparrows? Well, I think so. Look at the next verse. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought? I'll stop there. You know what a cubit is? Cubit was a carpenter's measurement. The forearm. So the cubit of one man is not exactly the same as the cubit of another man. And yet it was a measurement coming up. Anybody in here would like to be taller? I wouldn't mind a few more inches. Then they'd let me weigh more weight. You know, they judge that on your height. Some of them like to be shorter. Some people like to be shorter. You can't do anything about it, can you? Now, God seems to think that's easy. If you can't do anything about it, if you can't add one cubit to your stature, what are you doing worrying about it? You are who you are. God made you the way you are. You have some faults and some failures. You have some weaknesses. You have some strength and some successes. Which of you by taking thought could add one cubit unto stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? He says, you know, we want our clothes to be right. Or we want them to be really expensive. Or we don't wear the same clothes twice. I've heard of people like that. I'd like to go wherever they send their clothes. I might buy some cheaply, you know. Solomon in all his glory. And you talk about a glorious man. I imagine this is one of the greatest that ever lived on the face of the earth. He was wrapped and dressed in gold. He had crowns and jewels. One of the richest men that ever lived. And he built David's house, the house of God. And it was one of the greatest treasures in all the world. With all the gold and the silver and the brass and the jewels and stuff there. You think Solomon didn't dress well? Boy, people would look, my, look at the beauty of Solomon. Look at the greatness of Solomon. And yet he says a lily is dressed more beautiful than Solomon and it never put out any work on it. You getting sort of a picture of where he's going with this? Something to think about. Therefore, take no thought, saying, verse 31, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. You know what he just said about that? Now, he's talking to Jews. He's preaching to Jews. And he says, the Gentiles are seeking. This is what they're working for. They're working for food. They're working for their own body. They're working for their own clothes. That's what consumes them. Isn't that what consumes most of America today? Look at the advertisement for food on television. Good night. Going to HEB or going to Walmart or some of these other places, and there's food by just so much so that it's just, you have to make choices. Do I buy this or do I buy that? Do I like this or like that? What's good for me here, there, the other? The Gentiles, all the world is looking for these things. A new restaurant opens up and people tell you, oh, have you gone there? We're so rich. We don't just go to the local little restaurant down at the end of the block, man. We drive all over to find some new place with a different way to make the steak. Or it might be like some people eat sushi. I don't eat sushi. I don't like raw fish. But some people drive miles, pay big money to eat raw fish. It's a new experience. Oh, this great new restaurant over here. Oh, yeah, I like that. Well, the best hamburgers in San Antonio are. You got a bunch of opinions, don't you? So do the Gentiles. That's what he's telling them. He's saying you are spending too much time, too much attention on your body, how you clothe your body, and what you eat. You worried too much. God wants you to act in faith, not in worry. Too many times we spend our time worrying when we ought to be praying and thanking God for what we have. I look back, some of you that are older can understand, on some times when we were very poor. Most of my life, I worked two or three jobs. and preach the gospel. That would be one of them I'd consider. You know, those were great times. I remember some beautiful, beautiful things. I don't remember bad things about that. God fed us anyway. I would struggle to get myself out of debt, and I would pay off everything, and a kid would break an arm. All the tires would go bald. Or some other something would come my way, and I think, oh, Lord, how am I going to pay for this? How am I going to do that? And then I come down here looking at my life, and I say, man, God paid that, God paid that, and God paid that. I never went hungry. My kids never went hungry. Government never had to feed us. We made it. We made it. You know what he's saying? God's taking care of sparrows. Don't you think he'll take care of you? Now, I don't mean God's saying for you not to work. I don't think you need to be like a sparrow and flit from one tree to the other. I think God meant for you to work. I think you ought to have a job. I think you ought to love your job. I think you ought to work at your job and be faithful. But it's not the job that's feeding you. It's God that's feeding you. He said, after all these things, all what things? The food, the bodily comforts, or the bodily helps. I wonder how many take vitamins. Multi-million dollar business, isn't it? Man, I take 15 pills a day and 4 shots. Just stay alive. It's costing a lot of money to keep me alive. You know that? But I guess it's worth it. Every time I wake up, I say, praise the Lord, I got another day. We spend our time on these things. And what is Jesus trying to tell us here? After all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. You know, the more science I learn and the more that they come out with and they tell me some great new scientific fact that they have discovered, the bigger God gets in my mind. Now, they're doing it to prove evolution, trying to prove no God. But the more I look at it, I think, man, God is just bigger and smarter than I ever thought. This ball we're running around on, flying through space, this earth, do you realize if we were just a little bit closer to the sun, we'd all die? If we were just a little bit further from the sun, we'd all die. Do you realize if our atmosphere was different, if the earth was just a little bit smaller, we'd all die. If a little bit bigger, we'd all die. Do you know what you need? You need oxygen. How many places out there have it? They haven't found one yet. Everything has to be so right. All the dimensions, the measurements are so close. And they think that's the accident that caused man to come up and live in this place. No, God prepared it for man. Amen. God made it so you could live. You think of all the food that you eat, it's just exactly what you need. God prepared that. God made that. God knows what you need. Your heavenly Father knows you need clothes for your kids. He knows you need a job to put food on the table. He knows that you need health. He knows that you need to look presentable. He knows all these things. Since he does, you shouldn't be worrying about them. Now, what should you be worrying about? Look at verse 33. But seek ye first. There's a first. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first. Now, a lot of people thinking this verse, and they think if you seek God first, you'll be a preacher or a missionary, or a dirt nurse or a doctor on some foreign field in Africa. Well, if God has called you to be a preacher, then you won't satisfy yourself or God if you don't preach. God has called you to be a missionary. You won't satisfy God if you stay here and preach. If you have a definite calling from God to one of these things, but that's not what that verse is talking about except to a special few. God gives gifts to the church. This church has been gifted with many preachers and missionaries. I praise God for it. It's a wonderful thing. These are gifts of God to the church. But my friend, seeking God first is a matter of making decisions. You make them all the time. You make them every week. You decide to please God or please yourself. You make them with your children. Husbands and wives make them together. You make little choices. And those little choices depend on what you put first. I had an opportunity for a job. I was broke, out of work. And the job would have included selling beer or liquor. I was broke, didn't have any money, but I turned down the job. Somebody said, "You're crazy. You're just stupid, you know. You take a job, you're hungry, you take a job. What's a little thing like that?" Well, I have a conviction. Amen. I'm a teetotaler. That may be an old term for you. It means the strongest thing I drink is tea or Coke. I don't drink beer. I don't drink liquor. I guess except in NyQuil. That might be 85 proof. I'm not sure. It's decisions like that that I'm talking about. Where you're going to work. Whether you're going to compromise. You like to be friends with the people you work with. But I tell you what, there's some of them you can't be too friendly with or they'll contaminate you. They'll tell dirty jokes in your presence. Before long, you'll be telling them to somebody else. Oh, some of them are really cute. Some of them can really catch you. I love sarcasm. That's just a part of my, you wouldn't notice that was a part of my nature, would you? I love sarcasm. So if it's a very sarcastic joke, even if it might have been a little off color, oh, I might like it. Just cause I like it doesn't mean I need to repeat it. Just because I like it doesn't mean I need to keep talking or telling jokes with somebody there. Ladies, your choice of a dress can mean the difference between the will of God and your will. Men are lustful creatures. All of them are, unless they're weird. They're lustful creatures. And if you show too much, I guarantee you they're going to lust. Now, they would lust after you if you had a toe sack over you. That's men. But when you try to make the opportunity to dress so that men will look at, wow, look at her, you make a real big mistake. You made a choice between what would be God's will and what is my will. Seek you first. Can you put God first? Can an average American worker, farmer, school teacher, doctor, can he put God first? Yes, he can. He doesn't have to go to the mission field. He doesn't have to give all of his income away. He doesn't have to be a preacher or a missionary or a teacher or a doctor or a nurse somewhere. No! He has to make the right choices. Life is choices. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Are you living like all the rest of the Gentiles? Now that, I said, was Jews and Gentiles. When he says Gentiles here, it would say lost. Saved and lost. How about the lost people of the world? Are you just like them? You know, there are a lot of people that come into the church and they look at the church and they look at the people in the church and they think, well, they're just like me. Maybe we ought to be a little better. Maybe we ought to have some higher standards. Maybe we ought to talk cleaner. Maybe we shouldn't go to some places. I went to a birthday party one time, and it was a man I wanted to honor. He was a saved man. The people threw him the birthday party. They didn't ask him his permission. They just did it. and was at a bar. And I thought, man, I was going to give him a Bible because he had made a profession of faith. So I bought a good Bible. And I was going to give it to him at his birthday party. And I went there, and I just gave me Coke. Diet Coke. That way I can eat more. If you eat Diet Coke, you get to have two extra portions. You know what my Coke looked like? A drink. They didn't know what was in that Coke. Far as they know, hey, the preacher's drinking with us tonight. I got in there and I felt real uncomfortable, and I went over to him and I presented him his Bible and I said, I wanted to honor you on your birthday, but I got to go. Hoping no one saw me there. You make little choices. You make a choice to come to church or not to come to church. You make a choice to stay home and watch the Super Bowl rather than be with the saints of God praying or worshiping. You make a choice to buy a new car rather than make the old one work and do something for God. You make a choice with your money. Brother Trinidad was really hitting me this morning. I don't know if he missed any of y'all. Boy, he clobbered me. Every time I read those verses, I say, sinner, 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 I'm wicked. I don't love people enough. I don't love you enough, and I do love you. I love my family. I just spent a week with my family. I'm exhausted. But what a great time. You say, oh, they all get along so well. No. We fuss and fight and argue and punch one another and sarcastic, but we love. We keep coming back for more. But I remember, I went to bed and I heard my kids and my grandkids outside talking about certain things, and God just overwhelmed me with the love that he's given me. Wow. I couldn't have seen that when I was 18 years old, chasing another little 18-year-old girl. Oh, but God is blessed. I look at this church. You're a blessing to me. You're a blessing to me. I love the church. I love you. When somebody leaves, it hurts me. I wish we had all of them back, but then there'd be a lot of work not being done. If we had all of our missionaries, they're just back. We're just all worshiping every Sunday. We're just having a wonderful time. But what about the gospel being preached all around the world? You got to give up some things sometimes. But man, what a blessing if you let God be the head of your family. Be the head of your life. Make some choices that put God first. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Well, let me tell you one thing. If you're here today and you're not saved, then you have not fulfilled this. That's the very first thing. Very first thing you need to do the will of God is to repent of your sins and call on Jesus and get saved. Very first thing. So many other things simply will not fall into place until you repent of your sins and call on Jesus. And that makes Jesus Lord. Now I want you to understand something. Jesus is already your Lord, whether you like it or not. There's not a thing you can do for him not to be your Lord. He's going to be the Lord over heaven and hell. He's the Lord over every judgment that there is. Jesus Christ is Lord. Why don't you be smart and make him your personal Lord? Why don't you make a decision that says, I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior. You repent of your sins, confess them. It took me a couple of hours to confess all the sins I could think of. You say, well, I'm not as bad as you. We'll get it done in 30 minutes then. That'd be fine. Give yourself one real general thing. Lord, forgive me of all my sins. Do it in 2 minutes. But you need to get saved. If you're not saved, don't be stupid. Don't walk out those doors. Get a hold of one of these people, whichever one of these pastors you like or dislike or whatever. Get a hold of him and say, help me, pray with me. Some brother you know that's carrying a Bible seems to know what he's talking about. Help me, pray with me, show me how to be saved. Because there's going to be a great big dividing line one of these days. There's a heaven and there's a hell. There is no in between. No in between. You say, well, if you were God, would you have a hell? No, I just have one big fire and forget it all. But I'm not God. I didn't write that book. I don't understand everything in it. I do believe everything in it. There's a heaven and there's a hell. It is not God's will for you to go to hell. I don't care about your doctrine. I don't care where you may stand somewhere. It is not God's will. He said it is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants you to repent. That means change your mind, confess your sin, take Christ as your Savior. That's what He wants. He'll save your soul and change your life. Trinidad talking about 29 years. I'm talking about 54. Praise God. He changed my life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's in the choice to be saved, and that's in the choice to say, yes, Lord, you tell me what you want me to do, and I'll do it. You are my Lord. I will obey you. I will seek your face. I will trust you with my life. And you know the promise He makes right there? All these things that the Gentiles are seeking, you'll have. I believe that. I believe it's happened to me. I believe God has watched over me. I had one good friend, supported me a lot. It was a real dear brother. He said, Lindell, why do you always go against the money? I said, because I believe God can make it successful anyway. And that's what God's done. Souls have been saved. Lives have been changed. Preachers have been called. Missionaries have been sent out. Churches have been founded. 31 churches. Oh, some of them are small, but hey, some of them are a lot bigger than us. A lot bigger than us. Seek ye first. What do I seek first? I want your will, God. I remember after a number of years, and I'd been preaching a long time. I'd won a lot of souls. I started several works. And I was seeking God. And I was discouraged because God was not letting me have my way. And everywhere I went, doors closed. Everywhere I went, it just looked like He was boxing me in. That's the expression. That is the feeling I felt for a 5-year period of time in my ministry. I'm boxed in. And I re-examined my doctrine. I examined my life. I wasn't living in sin. My doctrine was right. The stands I'd taken were fit with the Scripture. They're what we do around here right now. And I remember I was in the kitchen, 319 North Valley. And I was mad. I was mad at God. It's not my sin that brought me where I am. It's not my ignorance that brought me where I am. I'm here because of you. I said, I know you're Lord. Wow. Whew. Cold stream of water, or whatever is what it felt like, went through me. And I knew God was just reestablishing, saying, Lindell, I am boss. I am absolute Lord. You don't have anything to do with it. Since that time, I have never had a time when I doubted God was Lord of my life. Is He Lord of your life? Can you say, if the Lord told me, I would? Can you say, I'll choose the way God wants me to choose. I'll choose the right way if I get an opportunity. If I have any choice in the matter, yes, Lord, I want your will above my will. I can trust you with my future. I can trust you with my kids and my grandkids. I can trust you with my church. I can trust your word. That's the will of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, there's more I could say, but I won't. Christian friend, I think one of the biggest problems Christians have today is we do not sense, feel, live in the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's one of the biggest problems in the church. Jesus is not Lord of everybody in the church, in their mind. If that's your case, repent of it. If you're here and you're not saved, Jesus certainly isn't your Lord by your own will. You need to get saved. Call upon his name. Repent of your sins. Ask him to save your soul. Make Jesus Christ your Lord in every decision for the rest of your life. From experience, I can say, oh, I have been treated wonderfully. God has showered me with rich blessings. I don't believe would have been there if I'd have been rebellious in many of the things that God told me to do. You got something on your heart? You got something you need to do? Seek God first. We're going to sing, Just As I Am.